Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at his hand, to set forth his most worthy praise, to hear his holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. O come, let us worship him. Let us kneel and bow down before him. Let us confess our sins with penitent hearts and obtain forgiveness by his infinite grace and mercy. And merciful Lord, has granted us pardon and forgiveness of all our sins, grace for true repentance and amendment of life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The lection for this evening is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, beginning with the 9th verse. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Here ends the reading.
Lord, have mercy upon us.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Two simple words. That's all it took. I think anyone would like to have that power as a speaker to get such results with so few words. Imagine as a parent telling a child to do something once, and the child would do it without question. Imagine a presidential campaign where the candidates would only have to state their views on a particular issue once, and they would never have to state them again. Imagine me as a teacher teaching my students one concept one time, and they would forever remember it. Two simple words. Now, of course, the speaker of those words was much more powerful than any speaker today. And his words themselves had power to change the weather, had power to change the quality of things, had power to change hearts. And that's the sort of change that these two words effected in the text. Jesus was the speaker, and these two simple words that he spoke had an enormous effect on the one to whom they were spoken. And actually, they still have an effect on us today. So this evening, let's listen to those two words. Follow me. Follow me, Jesus said. I came to heal you. Now, many of us may have disease or sickness on our minds right now, what with all of the attention in the media about the swine flu. Maybe some of you here have even had the H1N1 virus already. But for a moment, I want you to put aside all thoughts of physical sickness. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, Jesus said. Do you need Jesus to heal you? If you were to try and gauge your spiritual health right now, would you consider yourself to be healthy? Well, maybe so. Where are you sitting right now? You're sitting in chapel. Maybe you came to chapel this evening to give Jesus praise and glory for winning salvation and giving salvation to you. Maybe you came to hear his word and be spiritually refreshed and renewed. Maybe you came so that you can hang out with and be seen with all of the holy people. After all, you're going to chapel a second time perhaps today. How many people do that? Look at how many people on this campus don't even go to chapel once a day. I, for one, am so glad that I actually show my love for my Savior by coming to chapel and hearing his word instead of skipping chapel like some pagan. What's wrong with all those people anyway? And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" It's so easy, isn't it? It's so easy to be self-righteous and proud of our high level of commitment to our Savior. It's so easy to forget that Jesus came to heal us, not just them. When we were born, we actually didn't need a physician, because a physician can't do anything about someone who's already dead. But we did need the physician, the only one who can make a dead person alive, the only one who can wash away death-causing sins in baptism and make us his followers. Perhaps that's when we first heard Jesus say, "Follow me, I came to heal you." Through his death, Jesus takes away our death, and he gives us life. He makes us whole. And then we follow him. And since that first incredible healing, Jesus continues to keep us spiritually healthy because he continues to give us forgiveness of our sins. We can't go to this doctor too many times. He always will forgive when we go to him. Two simple words, follow me. But now consider them with another statement. Follow me. I came to make you a worker in my kingdom. Just look at Matthew's reaction to those two simple words. In Luke's gospel, he records that Matthew got up right away, left everything behind, and followed after Jesus. So great was his desire to serve his Lord. But that was sort of extraordinary, right? I mean, consider who Matthew was. He was a tax collector. One of the most despised professions in all of Judea, right up there on the scale of despicability with prostitutes. One of the most corrupt professions that you could have, in which extortion and cheating were the common way of operating. A profession which made you, as a Jew, a traitor because you were working for the Roman oppressors. Why wouldn't Matthew leave that wonderful way of life and follow after Jesus when he was given the chance? Yes, at some point, Matthew had at least heard about Jesus because the news about him was spreading like wildfire. But given his reaction to Jesus' call, Matthew had undoubtedly heard Jesus preach and teach. And so when Jesus came along and told Matthew, "Follow me," Matthew knew what that meant. He knew that meant relief from his terrible burden of guilt and sin. He knew that meant life itself. And note what Matthew did right away. Out of gratitude, he invited Jesus to come to his house for a special dinner. But he didn't stop there. He wanted to continue to serve his Lord. And so he invited his friends, his co-workers, to dinner also. Despised sinners all. Why? Well, he wanted them to meet Jesus. He wanted them to meet the only one who could take away their burdens of sin and guilt. After all, as Jesus said, he came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Now, I could say at this point, go and do likewise. Go tell people about Jesus. After all, that's what we're told in the Great Commission, right? Jesus tells us to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. But in some ways, that's a little too easy to let slip by, many times at least. We figure that we can easily evangelize all of those nameless and faceless people out there simply by praying for missions or giving money to support missions. No, I want you to think not of all of those people out there. I want you to think about one person. One person who does not know Jesus as his or her Savior. Maybe it's a friend that you have. Maybe a colleague. Maybe a member of your family. I challenge you to follow Matthew's example with that one person and invite that person to meet Jesus. How can you do that? How can you invite that person to meet Jesus? Maybe it's as simple as inviting someone to go to church. Maybe you can bring up the topic of religion and see where that discussion is going to lead. Maybe you could look for ways to show forgiveness. Maybe you could talk about guilt. Maybe you could talk about true love. There are all kinds of ways in which you can help someone to come and meet Jesus so that they can hear those words, "Follow me." Follow me. Two simple words with very powerful effects. Jesus came to this world to take your sins away, to heal you of death, to make you alive. Because he has, you are one of his followers. You are one of his disciples. Keep following Jesus and see what you can do to help others see Jesus also so that they can be followers. Amen. Please rise. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ. Amen.